Hey, good morning. Good to see you guys. Doing well? Surviving the heat. I was in Phoenix a few days ago. Record heat. For Phoenix, that's satanic. It's just, it was 118 degrees one day, 55% humidity. It was like, it did feel like hell, I think. Pretty close. And so much so my glasses began to melt. We were walking to a restaurant. No joke. It was like, oh, my glasses are clouding up. I'm like, no, they're actually melting. That's a problem right there when your glasses start to melt. But I was with 1,200 campus missionaries from all over the United States, some around the world. And it's a conference that happens every 4 years. And it's with our network, Chi Alpha. It's really amazing to hear so many different stories of what God's doing all across the United States, specifically on colleges and universities. God is, he knows what's up, and he's moving. And he's doing some crazy, crazy stuff. And so you might watch the news and think things are going down, and heaven, things never go down. It's not possible. It's always going up. Faith to faith, glory to glory, strength to strength, grace to grace. There is no such thing as decline in the kingdom. And so lots of cool stuff is happening. Oh, my book got all wet. Oh, well. I have a new book that's wet. It just came out end of June, The Ascended Life, Volume 2. And Volume 1 got translated into Urdu maybe 8 months ago, something like that. And it's being handed out throughout Pakistan. We've had 3 printings of the book. It's crazy. It is super crazy. We've had at least 400 Muslims that we know for sure have come to Christ because of that book. It's crazy. My favorite story is this: a Muslim man was going to kill himself. He's out in the middle of nowhere. I have no idea. This guy comes out with this book, says, hey, read this book. So he sits down in the dirt, immediately reads the book all the way through, and says, well, I want whoever this guy is talking about. He goes, well, that's Jesus. The guy shares the gospel. Ends up coming to Christ. So either way, he died. It's just now he has new life. You know, Romans 6, we died with Christ, right? And so that was amazing. And then Jumpstart, which you guys use, right? The discipleship book, that just got printed into Urdu 2 weeks ago. My friend is doing these events where the smallest amount they've seen come to Christ is about 20,000. This is happening every week in Pakistan, every single week. His largest event, it's crazy. His largest event, 1.2 million Muslims, the largest event of any kind in the history of Pakistan. The government was there counting the numbers to verify there were 1.2 million people. In the middle of nowhere, I've seen the videos, it's just a sea of people. 75% of that crowd said yes to Jesus. 75%. It's crazy. My friend is from Pakistan, grew up there. He's like, I've never seen the move of God that we're seeing in the nation of Pakistan. It is absolutely incredible what's happening. And not only there, but other parts of the Middle East. It's crazy. So I don't know what news you're watching. Switch on over to the good news because it's always good. But yeah, you can check this book out. It's a 21-day guidebook. The follow-up to the first one. And this is a USB drive. You pop out the bottom, snap it into your computer. It has all of my books, which is 5 books. And there are audio messages as well as videos. It's a ton of content. You can check it out. And then there's a virus. You'll have to contact me. No, I'm just kidding. That'd be horrible. Well, it's another $100 for me to fix that virus. I want to share a couple stories, and we'll dive into some stuff. In October, this last October, I was in Michigan. And I was invited to speak at a place that they're open to the supernatural until it happens. You know what I mean? Oh, we love the we love to talk about it, intellectualize about it. We just don't want it happening. So I was surprised they invited me. And then on top of that said, speak on whatever you'd like. And I said, are you sure? Yes. So we're having a good time, and it's in an area where there's a lot of poverty, a lot of heroin addicts, and so they have an atmosphere of their city. And at the end, the Lord says, teach everyone just to speak, kind of like we were doing earlier for Reading, just speaking to the atmosphere. Your words are powerful, by the way. I know some of us know this, but it's like kings exercise their dominion primarily by speaking. They decree something and it happens. And so the enemy likes to try to get you to the place where you're shut down, where you don't value that you have a voice. And whether that's through our template, our family template, our upbringing, or authority figures, where it begins to get shut down. I just want to encourage you to speak up. Somebody's going to speak up. The enemy is the prince and power of the air. He is atmospheric. His approach is atmospheric. So we've got to speak to the atmosphere. So I'm sharing about this. I said, so what do you want to see in your city? Just shout it out. People are shouting out. I said, what do you want to see? I said, all right, let's just pray together. So I said, let everything begin to be cleared out in the atmosphere. I pray a clearing out of the atmosphere and a great wave hitting Michigan. So I'm packing my stuff up, walking down this alleyway to the outside of the church, and all the leaders are out there, and they're looking at me a little awkward. So I'm like, oh, what's going on? And I've seen this look before, so I was like, okay, this may not be the best conversation. So I come out, and there's 80-mile-per-hour winds. I grew up in Michigan. I've never experienced 80-mile-per-hour winds. I mean, trees are just... So the pastor very reluctantly looks at me and says, did you do this? It wasn't in the forecast. There's no wind in the forecast. And I said, well, we did this together. It's just a physical sign of what God's doing, clearing out the atmosphere. And then that night, it was the largest wave ever in history to hit the Great Lakes. 32 feet. Like, that's a big wave for us, right? Any surfers out there? That's a huge wave, 32 feet. This is a lake. And this wave hit the lake. They recorded it. It was crazy. It was a sign and a wonder. And I just want to encourage you guys again, speak up for your city. Speak over your city. Speak over your environment. Speak over your family. Speak over your home, your streets. Your words carry the authority of Christ to begin to shift and change things. So I thought that was fun. So now they're open to the supernatural. See, when the supernatural comes, it becomes so transrational, you just kind of have to accept it. Yeah. And then recently I was in Amarillo, Texas. I'd never been to that part of Texas before, but you can just see for miles. Like, there's no hills. There's no elevation at all. You can see, it's like, I see Asia. I think I see Asia. So we're having a good time. And it was a church that just had started a year before, and they're across the street from West Texas A&M University. And part of the reason they brought me out was to kind of help them get some stuff started on the university. And so we're walking the campus. And there's interesting things that happen with me with wind. And I can't really explain it except that angels are ministers of wind and flame. It talks about in Psalms. They're ministers of wind and flame. So in Acts 2, when there's a whirlwind that comes in, there's a sound that begins with a sound that gathers the city. And then there's a whirlwind. Well, that's the angelic. It was the partnership of the angelic with the church. And then there's a flame above each head. That's an angel on each head. Ministers of wind and flame. Hi, you doing all right? It's like really quiet out there. And so I said, hey, when we walk on campus, just pay attention to the wind. That's where we're going to need to pray. They're looking at me like I'm completely out of my mind. So we come around this corner, and then just all of a sudden, there's this whirlwind in the trees. I said, here's a spot, let's pray. So we're praying, this one lady just staring. So I just share the verse about, you know, ministers of wind and flame. And I said, we're just partnering with the angelic. And I said, there's someone in this building we're supposed to see. What is it? What is this building? I said, oh, the president's in that building. I said, and then this other lady who works for the campus says, let me see if I can get a meeting with him. So she walks in, says he has a 3-minute window in about an hour and a half. So we walk in, and as we're walking in, the lady says, oh, by the way, I told him you're going to prophesy over him, she says to me. It's like, oh, okay, cool. So we sit in the lobby in front of his office, and I'm seeing the word architect. And so with me is the people who are going to start the campus ministry. So we go into this meeting, we're getting introduced, and I said, hey, I saw the word architect over you. And he says, well, I was an architect for 30 years. All of a sudden, I have his attention. word of knowledge. So I would just begin to prophesy over some things over his life. Ends up, this guy was saved in an Assembly of God church 40 years ago, and I actually know the people. So he starts listing names. Do you know this person? Oh, I know that person. I know that person. So all of a sudden, there's this crazy favor, and he looks at this guy who's starting the campus ministry and says, whatever you need, anything at all, we'll set it all up. Isn't that crazy? Favor. Now, I'm getting ready to leave the next morning. The guy who's picked me up, he does prophetic consulting in Washington, D.C. with world leaders. It's crazy. He's like this hip-hop dude. You'd never expect it. I can't even imagine him in a suit. But he goes in these meetings with world leaders, and he literally shares revelation. He grounds it out into language that they'll understand. But he's sharing prophetic revelation. It's literally shifting countries, what they're doing with their economy, with families, with building structures, all this stuff. It's crazy. So we're driving. He's driving to the airport. And he says, hey, so I set up a meeting with the mayor of Amarillo, and you're going to prophesy over her. I said, okay. It's early in the morning, but here we go. It's like 6 in the morning. So we get to this place, and he doesn't share anything about her at all. So she walks in, and I'm just sharing some words, and she starts freaking. She's freaking out. And she goes, and she's looking at my friend. She says, how did you tell him about the meeting we had last week? And he says, you know, he knows nothing at all. So the mutual friend of ours had prophesied over the week before, and literally verbatim what he said was what I was saying. Verbatim. Word for word. It was just total confirmation. She ends up being a spirit-filled believer. Mayor of Amarillo. And she's just in tears sharing about her heart for the city and about the state. I just want to encourage you. There are so many people planted in specific places in government and business. God knows what he is doing. Things are not falling apart. Like, it is, we're dialed in. He knows how to get people where they need to be at the right time, at the right place. And so I'm just super encouraged that God has planted specific people that truly have the heart of the Father and are releasing the kingdom. It's pretty crazy. So I just bless you with that testimony that you as well would find favor in government, in business. Wherever the Lord takes you, there'd be extreme, ridiculous favor. Woo, woo. Yeah. Yes, yes. One moment. This was Georgian Banoff. You guys know him? I don't know what he's saying. He's a cool guy. He's been here, right? No? Well, then I'm going to text him. He needs to be here. Let's dive into some stuff. I want to share a little bit about intimacy, but maybe share it in a way that perhaps you haven't heard. And I want to begin with how God speaks to us. So remember, Jesus is talking to the Samaritan woman at the well. He's talking about, hey, if you're going to worship my dad, it has to happen in spirit and in truth. Think of truth as reality. Nothing unreal exists. And nothing real can be threatened. Truth is reality. Anything outside of the truth is unreal. Now, it can affect our life. We can think upon those things and live our life and behave out of a place that's not truth, but you have to understand that is virtual reality. There's only one reality, and it is truth. And Jesus is saying, if you're going to worship my dad, it has to happen in the reality of the Spirit. It's not simply an intellectual thing. It involves all of us. We worship God with our mind as well. But it's transrational. So when God speaks to us, he begins spirit to spirit. As deep calls unto deep. His voice is like many waters. Multiple dimensions to his voice. Resonating. Your body is primarily water. If you want to think of it this way. When he begins to speak, there's this resonating that begins to happen because his voice is like many waters. Like the waters cover the sea. How does water cover water? Unless we're talking about multiple dimensions here, which is what we are talking about. So his voice has so many different dimensions that when he begins to speak, it's always spirit to spirit, which is translinguistics and transprocess. There's a lot of process when we're talking at this level. Body language, facial expression, eye contact or lack of, word usage, tone, cultural dynamics. There's a lot of stuff going on, but we're talking at this level. When God begins to speak to us, there is no process. It's just knowing. You just know. You ever walk into a situation, into a conversation, whatever the context, you just know what you're supposed to do. You know what you're supposed to say. You know where you're supposed to be. And there's no natural explanation as to how you know that. But you just know. That's what that is. I remember about 4 years ago, the Lord was speaking to me, bringing revelation about DNA. And I started sharing about this. And I remember sitting in a park with a guy. And he's like, I'm not sure about this. I don't know. This is really outside of my box. And I just, the words just came out. I wasn't even thinking about it. I said, Lord, confirm that this is true. So I have the picture on my phone. This is crazy. There's no clouds in the sky. All of a sudden, this cloud goes by. It's literally in the exact shape of a double helix, to the point that the clouds are dots. So I said, hey, check that out. I was behind him. I said, check that out up in the sky. So he looks up. He releases an expletive into the atmosphere. He goes, well, I'll pay attention now. And I'm speaking at a conference, and I'm sharing about DNA, and the words that are coming out of my mouth, I'm thinking, how do I know this stuff? Because at this point, I'm sharing things. There's no natural way I could know this. So at the end of the meeting, this guy comes up, says, hey, so where did you get your doctorate? I said, I don't have a doctorate. And he's like, well, how about your master's? I said, I don't have a master's. So he sits down in the chair, he's just staring, and he goes, well, what field of science did you study? I said, I didn't study science. I went to a Bible college. So he's staring at me with his head cocked for about a solid minute. He goes, well, then how do you know this? He goes, I have a doctorate in genetics. How do you know this? Because what you're talking about isn't that known. There are certain circles that know this. So I need to know, how do you know this? And the Lord reminds me, 1 John 2:20, the Spirit has anointed you to know all things. One of my favorite things to do when I go to bed at night, because the Psalms talk about how we can be instructed while we sleep. You can learn while you sleep. It's like Matrix mode. You're just, let's plug in overnight and I'm going to wake up knowing things. And that's literally what this is. One of the best things you can pray when you go to bed at night is, Father, I'm ready to learn. Whatever I need to know, let it be downloaded that when I wake up, I would just know. And what the Father will begin to do is he'll speak spirit to spirit. It's beyond language. There's no human language that can contain that level of communication. 1 Corinthians 6:17 says, those that are joined with the Lord Jesus are one spirit with him. When you came to Christ, you became one spirit. If you're married, you're one flesh, but with Christ, you're one spirit. You don't know when you end and he begins. You're just one. There's no distance. And there's no separation. So the Father, this is how the Trinity works. The Father always initiates, and he speaks. But what does he speak? He speaks the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God. Logos, the logic and opinion of the Father. Jesus is the Father's mind made up. So when Jesus is there, Father's like, that's my mind made up. The Father will always initiate, and he will speak the Word. The Holy Spirit confirms and authenticates that the Word is true through miracles, signs, and wonders. That's how the Trinity always works. Together. Never in isolation. Isolation is governed by deception. If you isolate, you will be deceived, I guarantee it. I see prophetic people do this. And they actually begin to function in divination rather than revelation because they're pulling from a pool that is not true, even though their words are accurate. Oh, their words were true. Yeah, but they're in a pool they shouldn't be in. It's called isolation. So actually what's happening is they're deceived, so they're functioning in divination. It is crazy. Everything God has set up is to be done within family. I love the stories with Mexico and the emphasis of family. By the way, I was telling Craig, I got a message, Instagram message, while you guys were sharing. Oh, I was with those guys, a friend from NorCal. I was with those guys, that team. They were awesome. So Mexico team, you were awesome. Said Craig was super cool, so you're cool. You're not just cool, you're super cool. It's next level cool. Everything's to be done in the context of family. How many of you are creative? You write, you sing, you paint, you sculpt, whatever that looks like. Knit, I don't know. Your creativity as an individual has a ceiling. Your creativity in the context of family has no ceiling. Your creativity will go to a whole nother level when you do it in the context of family. The Father did not create alone. He did not say, hey guys, I got this. You stay over there. They did it in unison in the context of family. Everything we do in that type of context, as well as the prophetic, it will take the prophetic to a whole nother level. I'm so encouraged. I'm seeing what's called prophetic companies all over the earth rising up. For so many years, the prophetic was the prophetic itinerant minister who came in and wowed everyone with their prophetic gift and went out and got, and everyone said, man, I wish I could be like that. There was nothing attainable to what they were functioning in, the way it was communicated. Now it's, we're doing this together in the context of family, and it's taking the prophetic to places that it has not been before. Where people are literally finding missing children through prophetic revelation. I have friends who are doing this. They've literally found 5 missing children, some that have been missing for years. Getting license plate numbers, addresses, and then the police show up and the child is there. This is crazy. Where police departments are now partnering, saying, hey, when we have unsolved cases or missing children, we'll come to you. Because we recognize there's something very accurate to what you're doing. That's all because of the context of family. It's increasing the exponential effect it can have into the earth. Whether that's creativity, prophetic, business, whatever. When it's done in that context, it goes to a whole different level. So we have to learn to become intimate. Yay! The survival of religion is dependent upon the fear of intimacy. Wherever you find the fear of intimacy, you will find religion. Because what happens when there's no intimacy, you relate to structure, tenets of faith, doctrines, a particular wineskin. And the relationship is to that. And then because there's a relationship there, other people relate to the same thing. And then you have a connection to each other that requires no intimacy. Every denomination functions this way, by the way. I'm not anti-denomination, it's just what it is. Because what happens is the moment you don't relate to the structure anymore, well then I can't be in relationship with you anymore. Which means it was never about relationship with each other. You can function in that environment with no depth. It requires zero depth. But when you take that out, so when Jesus chooses the 12, does he say, hey guys, I prayed all night. I chose you guys. I got a to-do list over here. I got a mandate carved in the fig tree over there. There's a lot of stuff we got to get done. What does it say in the Gospels? Why did he choose them to be with him? Period. No comma, no semicolon. He chose them to be with him, period. All the Great Commission, the deputized to heal the sick, that all came later. It all came later. The highest value Jesus has was let's go deep together so that when we get to those places where there will be structure, we understand the highest value still is this. So Jesus is calling us into places of intimacy that are quite honestly awkward. It's awkward. Because it reveals everything we've constructed around our life to keep us safe. To mitigate pain. We build all these walls, and then the more intimate he calls us into those places, it reveals all this, so that's why it feels awkward. We've related so much to the stuff we've built around our life to keep everyone at a distance that we're not even sure how to function in intimacy. And I'm telling you, Jesus wants it to go deep. Okay? Awkward deep. Because you can't take people where you haven't gone. You can talk all day long about intimacy intellectually, but it will carry no breakthrough unless you've gone there yourself. You ever listen to someone teach and what they're teaching is true and they're really great orator, but at the end you're just like, that was good. That was good. We're going to go eat. And that was good. And then someone else gets up and they're bumbling all over and it's like rabbit trails, like where, but there's breakthrough in the room. What's the difference? One person carries what they're talking about. The other is just talking about it intellectually. So it just scratches the intellect. Where the other, it's going so much deeper because they are releasing what they've walked through. That's why we talk about your testimony so powerful, right? What you've gone through in life, what God has brought you through, you have a breakthrough for that. You can't take people where you haven't gone. It just doesn't work. And so we have to become very vulnerable. Honesty and vulnerability, or transparency, are the hinges on the door of your breakthrough. If you romanticize your life into something that it is not, you will not walk in breakthrough. So we've got to have people in our life. I don't want accountants in my life if we are not talking about money. I don't like the term accountability. An accountant is looking for errors. They are specifically looking for errors, and they are keeping a ledger of those errors. That is the last thing I want in my life relationally. Love keeps no record of wrongs. I want an editor in my life. What an editor does is they come into your life, they take your story, and they make it better. It's still your story. Hey, this is a run-on sentence. Let's put a period there. Let's take that word out. Let's change this to a different, more descriptive word. It's still your story. It's better. You've got to have editors in your life when you're saying, my life is amazing, that are going, actually, it's not that amazing. It's really not that great right now. I remember you mentioned Shannon Schreier. He's been in our life for 20 years. And he called me, this is maybe 9 years ago, just like a random call. And he says, hey, I was just thinking about you, praying. And, you know, when you hug people, it's kind of cold. It's like a robot. I'm like, whatever, dude. Get out of my face. Even though you're not in it, you're on the phone. But just get out. So I hang up the phone. And then another guy calls. They know each other now, but at the time they didn't know each other. I mean, within 2 minutes. Says, hey, so I was praying for you. And, you know, it's kind of, when you hug people, it's really cold. I mean, it's just, I'm like, what? I said, did you meet my friend Shannon or something? He's like, no, I don't know who this guy is. So I'm like, get out of my face. I hang up the phone. So I go to pray. And I'm like, Lord, these people are deceived. And help them, Lord. Just. No, I went in to pray. And I said, God, like, hey, if this is true, then let's just deal with some stuff. I need to deal with some stuff. I don't want to be cold. I don't want to be a robot walking around. He says, oh, it is true. And I love how God, he's kind, but he's like kind of firm at the same time at times, right? He's like, let's deal with this. I'm like, all right, let's do it. So I have this great, profound encounter with God, the Father's love. So I come out, and that night we had some students over, and one of them I'd never met before. And so I didn't know her story at the time, but she was a literal orphan. Been abused most of her life. Horrific, horrific stuff. Very traumatic. So we're getting done with the meal, and God whispers, hey, try out your new hug. I was like, hey. So I look at the girl, and God says, hug that girl. I said, hey, would it be okay if I just gave you a hug? She's like, yeah. So I go to hug, and I want to do the double tap, you know, and just back away. Christian hugs are so awkward. Let's do that side. What are we side? Kind of an angle. What are we doing here? It's like, and so I'm about to do the double tap and back away. And God says, what are you doing? And I just said, I don't know. I don't know. What are we doing? He says, why don't you embrace her? So I said, hey, would it be okay if I embrace you? And it felt awkward. Okay, just be honest. It felt totally awkward because this was not my life. So I'm just and immediately she breaks down, falls on the ground, delivered from demons. Begins to manifest demons. We walk her through deliverance, all because this new hug. And the Lord began to, what I just shared with you, you cannot give away what you have not experienced, and you cannot take people where you have not gone yourself. So it's just being honest with where we're at today. This is where I'm at. And maybe it's not great today, but I'm on a journey, right? And it's taking that and becoming transparent with some people that you trust, say, hey, here's what's going on. I remember meeting with a student who'd always talked about her dad being there. So I just started asking questions. So when you graduated high school, was your dad there? Oh, no, he's on a work trip. Okay. When you got your license, was your dad there helping you? No, he's on a work trip. Okay. So I'm going through all these pretty important life experiences. He's never there. So I said, what you're saying and what I'm hearing about your past is not lining up here. I said, you're romanticizing your life into something that it's not. Oh, no, 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 no. I said, so it doesn't bother you that your dad was never there? It's under the blood. Thank you for that cliche to deflect what you're actually feeling. Because that's exactly what that is, over-spiritualizing things. It's like, give me a break. So I started pushing the button. I could see the button, so I just started pushing the button. So you're not angry about that? Your dad was never there? It doesn't bother you at all that he wasn't at these really important events? It doesn't bother that he chose work over you? It doesn't bother you at all? All of a sudden, now we can get somewhere. She was angry. She was glossing over with these Christian cliches her whole life, not acknowledging that actually I'm pretty angry about this. And then when she was honest with herself, she could actually walk in breakthrough. So you got to be honest with where you're at. Don't pretend it's all amazing, because we all got stuff we're working through. We all got stuff. And the kindness of God is not only will he walk through us through this stuff, is and he'll communicate spirit to spirit, which is the beginning, but he'll decode that in a language that we can understand. This is why I love the prophetic. I was in a meeting recently. This is one of the most bizarre words I've ever given. I was really wrestling with whether I was going to give it or not. It was such a bizarre image. So I'm in a meeting about 50 prophets from all over the world, and everybody's prophesying over everybody. And there's this one couple I just met. You probably know him, Ian Carroll. Yeah. So if they're from Chicago, they kind of shared this story of a trip they'd went on. And then this guy, Dan McCollum's like, hey, if anyone has a word, just release it over them. So I'm seeing this picture the whole time they're up there. And I'm like, Lord, can someone else give this word? So I get up, I said, I have a word today. And so I'm seeing a butthole with music coming out of it. And I start sharing this stuff. And so the room is like, the breath is just like, so my friend Keith Ferrante is like, well, if there were any religious demons, they have left the room now. They are gone. And I said, I don't know if this means anything to you. And I didn't have much more than that. I'm just like, this is what I'm seeing, and I feel like it has meaning to you. And he's just shaking his head the whole time, smiling. And I said, does it mean something? Oh, yeah, it means something. I'm like, okay. So I go up after her and I said, so help me understand, well, how does this have meaning to you? And he says, we're just starting this thing called School of Apostles. And when we talk about apostles, one of the images that we use is they're kind of like, because the apostles are the foundation. It's not a pyramid scheme where everyone pays their dues to the master, the apostle. The apostle's the lowest of the low. Apostles and prophets are the ones everyone else stands on. Not the pyramid above. And he says, we teach our students that apostles are like excrement. They're the lowest, like the intestines, just pushing all the stuff out, paving the way. And he goes, this makes complete sense to me. Now, isn't it crazy that God would speak so specifically that that word would probably make no sense to anybody else in that room? And I'm crazy enough to give the word. But out of all those people, God would speak so specifically to that one person, when he could speak 1,000 different ways, but he speaks that one way to that one person. That's amazing. How many of you have ever experienced that, where a word came and it was so specific to you that to anyone else it wouldn't have connected? But for you, it was so specific. I remember the first word I ever gave, I was totally petrified. And I had to learn how God spoke to me. And one of the ways he speaks to me is I have a really vivid imagination. So I'm just seeing stuff. But I didn't realize most of that was God. So I was like, oh, like I'd be speaking, I'd see, Lord, I just command the demons to get, just like, God's like, hey, this is me. So I'm speaking and I have one of those moments. I have this weird image. And I said, all right, I'm going to step out. And I'm just kind of looking around. I'm drawn to a woman in the front. I said, hey, so I'm seeing a pogo ball with the flying monkeys of the Wizard of Oz on the ball. And you're jumping on this ball in front of a yellow house. Does that mean anything? She's just bawling. And I'm like, are you frightened from the ball, the picture of the ball? Like, what's going on? It's like, no, I was abused in my upbringing. In my grandmother's house was a yellow house. And it was the safest place I ever felt. And in her garage was a pogo ball with the flying monkeys of the Wizard of Oz. And I'd bounce in front of the house. I said, that is the safest place I ever felt. And what the Father was saying to her, specifically with this church, it was her first week, this is the place that you'll feel safe. That's crazy. He'll speak so specific. It doesn't have to be parabolic and cryptic. It's riddles. It's like, he'll just like, I'm going to speak so clearly to you that I know what's happening in your life and where I want you to be. That's the kindness of God. That is just crazy. And the beautiful part is we get to partner with him in the prophetic and pass on his messages. He could totally do it himself, and sometimes he does. But it's amazing when he uses us. Come on. Take a swig, getting a little dry up here. But as we progress in our journey with God, he wants us to begin to learn, become more spirit conscious. Some are going to live body conscious, flesh conscious, so they're always pulled to a carnal mind. Remember, Paul talks about the carnal mind as opposed to spirit consciousness. Or we're soul conscious, so we're always overwhelmed by the cares and affairs of a world we're not of. Jesus says, don't be overwhelmed by the cares and affairs of this world. So when we're just soul conscious, it's like we're living under that. We're living under time, even though we have dominion over time. And he wants us to get to the place where there's just the knowing. We just know. Was Jesus ever confused? Did he ever walk into a town and goes, I'm not sure what we're supposed to do here. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to say. He heard and he saw consistently. He was seeing and hearing all the time. In the spirit, he was seeing all of the time. Yes? So when he's like, well, I just saw what the Father was doing. Some people talk about this in a way, it's like, well, the Father was just over there by the milk cart. And she's like, no, he's seen in the spirit all the time. If you're going to worship my dad, it's in the spirit reality. And he's seen this, which means this is available to us to function all of the time. Like all revelation flows from the heart of the Father. All wisdom flows from the mind of Christ. You've been given both. Isn't it ironic that the apostle of love becomes John the Revelator? Probably experienced more revelation than any human in the history of all humankind. He's the guy who doesn't retreat, doesn't leave Jesus. He's the only guy at the cross. He's the guy who truly gets love and intimacy. And as a result, he's given crazy revelation. You want revelation? Intimacy. Make the priority his heart, where all revelation flows from, and you'll have revelation. But then we have to have wisdom to apply the revelation, because wisdom is the application of revelation that opens up a window of reformation. So it's not just about revelation. It's then the mind of Christ to begin to take and ground that out into technology, solutions, business plans, life plans, church plans, all these things that can affect society. But it's all coming from intimacy. And you've been given the mind of Christ, right? So you have a whole mind. So a divided mind means you're paying attention to illusions. We can live out James 1, a divided mind, and be unstable in all of our ways and not receive from God. But you have to understand, none of that is real. Hello. What is the opposite of anxiety? I would say knowing. You get anxious because you don't know. If you knew, you wouldn't be anxious. Well, you've been anointed to know all things. So don't be anxious about anything, because you've been anointed to know all things. There's nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. There's no new revelation. People are like, oh, did you hear that one? It's like really new. I'm like, well, we probably forgot. It's not new. See, the Holy Spirit's not only our guide, he's our translator. He's helping us to remember what was always known. You were in Christ before creation? Just say yes. Ephesians 1, you were in Christ before creation. He's the totality of all that can be known. And you were in him before creation. So now the Holy Spirit's helping you to remember what was always known. You ever get revelation? It seems so new but so familiar at the same time. Hello. So the Holy Spirit will use time as a teaching device to help us regain eternity in our mindsets, so that we're eternally minded. And we begin to function spirit to spirit. That place, that deep calls unto deep, that place of intimacy that cannot be explained through just human language. And then it starts affecting all of our relationships around us. We actually carry the breakthrough of intimacy, so then it draws people to those places and it takes some away. Because some don't want to go there. Some don't want to go there. So I want to encourage you this morning, no matter where you are in your journey with God, there is another place of intimacy to go that probably will feel awkward for a season, because it's revealing again everything constructed we placed around our life to keep us safe, which is a false sense of security, but we think we're safe. And Jesus is like, look, there's the safest place is hidden in me. There is no safer place. And hidden in Christ. So when the enemy starts coming up in your business, just back up and say, you want to come in where I'm hidden? Sure about that? I'll leave the door open for you. Come on in. They're so weak they can't open doors anyways. They have to walk through doors that have been opened for them. They're weak. So I want to pray for you guys. There's more we could dive into, but I think this is enough. I want to really have some time to pray. Is that cool? You guys all right? Yeah? So here's an honest moment, and my hand's going up with this. How many of you lived most of your life having no idea how to be intimate with people? Yeah. How many, it's really hard to even know the condition, I'm not talking physically, but know the condition of your own heart. See, what happens is we're disconnected from our own heart, so we can't connect with others. Well, let me rephrase that. You can connect with people, but there's no depth again. So it's the whole structure thing. So we're all like, we're relating to the structure. Isn't this awesome? Religion is great. Woo! We're not going to be intimate. We'll just be robots, and we'll connect with this, and blah, blah, blah. And then what happens in a structure like that, when a leader falls, a committee comes in from outside the church. All of a sudden, the person's gone. Nothing is said clearly. It's all vague. What happened? Well, you know, things happened. Okay. What happens, it's released in the environment, is a culture of concealment. Well, all I know is that person disappeared and they made a mistake. So I can't make a mistake. I certainly can't share it. So we just walk around like, we're all doing awesome. Woo! You're doing good? Oh, I'm just growing in the Lord. Haven't spent time with him in 4 years, but I'm just growing in the Lord. You know, we're just really doing some things together. And no one's being honest. So then it's a culture of bondage. Everyone's in bondage. Because everyone's afraid to actually share. So when this starts to get dismantled, as far as the relationship, and we make this the priority, then this becomes the outflow of intimacy. See how much that can affect the world? A lot of evangelism is this. So it's a loud, clanging cymbal. We're doing this outreach in the city, but we have no connection with each other. And Jesus said, the world will know you're my disciples because of your love for one another. You could say it this way, because of your depth with each other. The world will know. So if there isn't depth, the world is not going to know. Now, here's what I've learned. Sometimes, how many can relate to this, relating to structure, for most of your life? You have to detox from this stuff. Sometimes you have to have a season of detox. How many have ever done a natural detox? I tried this. I felt like I was dying. My wife's like, hey, let's do this. I'm like, okay. By day two, I'm like, literally, I feel like I'm dying. I mean, there's not much here anyways, so I'm not sure why I need the detox in the first place. But so I had to just peace out. I'm out. I need to live. I want to live. But you have to drink a lot in a detox. You have to drink a ton of fluids. It's the same when we're detoxing from this stuff. You've got to drink a lot. Think about Acts 2 again. The beginning of the church. It could happen in any way, in any type of context. But it happens in a state of drunkenness. How's that for a church growth strategy? Imagine being like a church planners meeting. Any ideas? Why don't we get drunk? See what happens. Out of a state of drunkenness, Peter stands up, who is a fisherman, preaches a sermon, and thousands of people come to Christ. See, some people, I used to mock drunkenness in the Spirit until it happened, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And I had a season of detox. It was happening all the time. I had to drink a lot. And I had to learn to drink. One story I'll share with us, and then we'll get into some stuff. We had a student. She was studying for the MCAT, which is a really difficult test to get into med school. And her dad's a really known surgeon, so she's following in these big footsteps. And we're in a meeting probably 3 or 4 years ago. And she just starts, now she's like deadpan all the time. Very little emotion. All of a sudden, she is hysterically laughing. And it's not even like there's a funny moment in the meeting. And she's just, I mean, she's just shaking, laughing, falls out of her seat. So we just start to pray. And she's blurting out, I don't have to study anymore. I don't have to study anymore. She'd been studying crazy amounts of hours. And in the midst of this encounter, the Holy Spirit said, stop studying and just drink. So she stopped studying. And she aced the MCAT. So what someone would say, oh, that is foolish, it's actually highly intellectual. Hello? Someone might be rolling around like, oh, that's just foolish, they're just acting like a fool. Actually, they are getting an upgrade intellectually, and they're acing their MCAT without studying. She'd put so much pressure on herself to study. It was all striving and strain and stress. And the Holy Spirit's like, you need to detox from this stuff and let me teach you. He's our teacher, right? Yay. All right, stand up. Let's do some stuff. Let's do some stuff. How many feel like you need to detox? How many have come through a season of detox before? Yeah. I want the first group again to raise your hand. How many feel like you need a season of detox? Keep your hand up. If you've been through a season of detox, find someone with their hand raised up and lay your hand on them. Keep your hand up. You've come through a season of detox. You want to share that breakthrough. Ba, ba, ba. All right. Even if you don't have someone, you got someone. Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we honor your work in our life. You're our teacher. You're our guide. You're our translator. You testify of Jesus. You can't get enough of Jesus. So we honor your work in and through our life. I pray every system, every structure that is false, that is illusionary, that is really false security, these things that have tried to mitigate pain, to keep us at a distance, to prevent us not only having intimacy with you, but having depth with each other. I declare the dismantling of those structures right now around your life. I declare the box that has tried to constrict you, restrict you, suppress you, compress you, depress you. We begin to break every wall, the floor, and the ceiling. Everything we begin to open up right now. Holy Spirit, just say this out loud over yourself. Holy Spirit, I choose to come under your influence. I'm going to be under the influence. So Holy Spirit began to pour out wave after wave, new wine. Jesus has a house of wine. Song of Songs 2 talks about this. He has a house of wine. And every bottle in that house represents a year of loss in your life. What the enemy meant for harm in your life, to steal from you, to destroy, while that season was happening, Jesus was making something really beautiful, because wine has to be made through the process of crushing. So while the enemy tried to crush you, Jesus was crushing grapes, saying, oh, I'm making a nice Merlot right now. So I want you to use your imagination. You have an imagination to explore your union with God. So start with your imagination. Imagine that house of wine and him pulling a bottle off that represents that 1 year of loss for you. And imagine him uncorking that bottle. And we're not talking a little tiny wine glass. We're not even going to use the glass. And just begin to drink. Imagine yourself drinking. Holy Spirit, we choose to drink, to detox everything that's tried to prevent us from being who we are in Christ and releasing what we're called, we're releasing to the earth. Everything that's tried to shut us down, everything that's tried to hide us, to have us blend in, and to disappear within a society that we're to permeate as children of light. Every one of those things, let it begin to be destroyed as we drink of your goodness, as we feast on your goodness. Now I want you to activate something. Sometimes we have to physically do something. I want you to just begin to laugh. You have to start with your will sometimes, just like in worship. You sometimes don't feel like it, but you just choose to worship. I want you just to begin to laugh. Delight in the goodness of God over your life. Whatever that year was in your life, that year of loss, that year where the enemy tried to steal, kill, and destroy, begin to laugh over that year. As you drink of the goodness that Jesus created in that year, begin to laugh over that year. Yeah, Father, you are consistent in every season. You are stable and constant in every single season. So we need to detox. Tiny bubbles. We need bubbles. Paul said, don't get drunk with wine, but drunk, filled with the Holy Spirit. He's making a contrast. Don't get drunk with natural wine. There's another way to do this where there's no side effects. There's no regrets. And drunk people talk to anybody. So keep exercising your will. Begin to laugh over that year. Some of your breakthroughs carried right now in this moment. Yeah, Lord, we celebrate you. We celebrate you, Lord. We celebrate you, Lord. Now begin to use your voice. Begin to speak over your life, over your family, over this city, over this church. What do you want to see happen? Speak up. No time for a whisper. Speak it out. Don't get religious on me. Declare favor, increase, miracles, signs and wonders, creative miracles, influence. Tremendous influence. Revelation over our city. Over San Diego County, revelation of the Father's love. We declare, we speak to the spiritually homeless in our county. There are more homeless people in the natural than any county in America. What's happening in the natural many times mirrors what's happening in the spirit. So we declare to the spiritually homeless in our region, you have a home. We declare homes and families, people understanding intimacy and making an impact with the spiritually homeless. You have a home. Wow. Yeah. You belong. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I feel like we just need to wait in this moment. Just let's not rush this moment. If you want to close your eyes to focus, whatever helps you to focus on Him, just do that. If you want to begin to worship, pray in the Spirit, whatever helps you. Jesus, we thank you that you've called us into intimacy, into places that demand depth. We are no longer orphans. We have been adopted. Holy Spirit, you've adopted us. The spirit of adoption has come to this house. The spirit of adoption. So I break off what the Lord's done in my life with orphan mentalities, so many orphan mentalities that I had. I pray that those things would begin to break off any of your mindsets right now in the name of Jesus. The feeling and thought of scarcity, that there's not enough. There's not enough money. There's not enough time. There's not enough space. The fear. That is an illusion. The opposite of fear is love. There is no lack of love because God is love, so fear does not exist except in your mind. So I declare the perfect love of the Father over your mind. Let there be light over your thoughts. Let there be light. I declare Ephesians 1:17 and 18. The eyes of your heart will be flooded with light so that you would understand the hope of His calling and the riches of His inheritance for you. Riches. Your Father's so rich, they walk on our greatest resource, gold. All right, last thing, put a hand next to you. There's two people on each side. Put a hand on their shoulder. Just begin to declare, I'm choosing to go deep in this place. No surface for me. I'm not going to live in the sunlight zone, if you know oceans. I'm living in the midnight zone. I'm going deep where there's lots of creative fish. And just declare this, Jesus, let it start in me. Deeper intimacy. Holy Spirit, help me when it gets awkward. But I'm choosing to go deep. Now I just bless you guys in your journey of depth. In the name of Jesus, that you'd know the depths of his heart for you. New caverns within his heart, new pathways in his mind. The thoughts that he has for you, the love that he has for you. Places that you thought you understood just went to a whole different level of understanding. And as that revelation and that wisdom is flowing to you, you begin to release it to those around you. You'd literally carry the bandwidth of breakthrough for people to come into intimacy for themselves, into a home that they belong. Let it be a sign and a wonder. Just like you said, Jesus, the world will know that you're with me because of your depth with each other. Take us deeper with each other because of our depth with you. In Jesus' name.